to start. We finished up a sermon series last week about some of those things, some of those verses in the Bible that we just kind of get wrong, right? We called it cattywampus. We just kind of get them cattywampus, and we don't want to do that. Like there's things you can get messed up in life, and it's okay. You know, life's going to go on, but man, if we get Scripture wrong, if we don't know this the way it ought to be known, and part of that's just reading it. Part of that means you and I have to read the Bible, but when we read it, we have to understand it. And so, if we don't understand this, it throws everything else off. So, hopefully, the three or four verses and sections of Scripture we looked at were helpful the last few weeks. We're gonna take a total 180 degree turn and look at something totally different over the next 4 or 5 weeks. And what we're going to look at is the idea of what a church member is. What a church member is. And we're going to look about, like I said, 4 or 5 weeks worth. I'm going to tell you this first off, what church membership is not. Church membership is not having your name on a roll. Church membership doesn't get you to heaven. So why does church membership matter? And that's kind of what we want to answer. And not only answer that, but what church membership looks like, how we do that, what difference it can make in our lives, all of those things, what it should look like when we are church members inside of a church. We want to break all those apart over the next few weeks and try to figure out what it means to be a church member. I want to tell you a story of two different people and try to help you understand the importance of church membership early on. First person, Christian, became a Christian at Vacation Bible School as a child. Their parents came to church most of the time, but never really pushed church on their children. They never felt like church was really a part of what they ought to do, like to push them into it. And so the parents and the kids, this person in particular, never really felt part of the church crowd, but they came on Sunday mornings. They put in their time. They did that. When they got into their later teens, early 20s, they kind of struggled through that part of their life. They realized they needed something to change, but they didn't know where to start. That's person number one. Here's a second person I want you to hear. They became a Christian at VBS as a child. Vacation Bible School, same start of the story. But this person had children, kept those children involved in church, as well as being involved themselves. They were involved in ministries. They made sure Sunday school was a priority, made sure Wednesday night Bible study was a priority, outreaches were a priority. They loved being at church, and they loved being with church people. They loved the relationships they built. They weren't perfect, but their friends and their family could see a difference in their life because of their involvement in church life. It's the same person, by the way. It's the same person. Somebody who didn't value church membership as a youngster because their parents didn't value it for them, but realized and thank the Lord they got to a spot in their late 20s, early 30s, where they realized church really was important and being part of a church family was important. And so they raised their kids in that environment and they made it a priority and they were involved. And it changed their life and it changed the trajectory of not only their life, but the life of their family. If you consider yourself a Christian this morning, you should be involved, you should be a part of a local church. You say, well, where do you get that at, Justin? Well, you look back in Acts and you see that. You see that people didn't just become a Christian and follow Jesus and then go do whatever they wanted. They met with each other. They prayed with each other. They ate with each other. They fellowshiped with each other. Fellowship is pretty important in the church. That's why we do things that sometimes it's just fellowship, because getting to know each other and being around each other is as godly as sometimes setting and forcing Scripture down somebody's throat. Listen, all of that is a part of being a church family. All that is a part of knowing Jesus better because we learn to love each other as well and lean on each other. We're going to see that in the Scripture this morning, I believe. Jesus even sent people out in pairs, at least in pairs, if not in groups, when he sent people out to tell others about him. He sent them out together. He didn't say, all right, you 12 disciples, I want y'all to split up and all go one by one and go wherever you want and you get out into these other towns. No, he sent them in groups. He sent them in pairs because that's important. Because being a part of a church family is important. I've said that a bunch. I'll say it a bunch more, not just during this sermon series, but from here on out, I will tell you how important it is to be a part of a church family. And actually, I probably second to telling people that Jesus will change their life if they'll follow him. The second thing I probably tell people most is that they need to be part of a church family. Because, listen, and it happens mostly in the line at Simple Blessings. You walk through and you talk to people, and I'll say, well, do you have a church home? Well, no, but I'm a Christian, but no, I just don't have a church home. I can't tell you how many times that conversation happens. I love conversations where I get to say, you know what, you need to know Jesus. Let me tell you about him. I love those. But I also love getting to tell somebody who says they're a Christian, who says they follow Jesus, but are not involved in a church family. I love telling those people they need a church family. And then I get to tell them why they need a church family. And all those reasons will come up today, and they'll come up over the next few weeks. But if you're here this morning and you feel apart and you feel distant, maybe either from God or from a church or from other Christians, might not be everybody else's fault that you feel that way. This is just me being honest. That might be a little harsh, but it might not be everybody else's fault that you feel that way. If you're not trying to be involved in a part of a church family, if you've not put your roots down somewhere, then it might be your fault that you feel distant. It might be your fault that you don't feel close enough to God like you think you should. That might be the reason. It might be your fault that you don't make church a priority. And listen, that's just me being honest, okay? Yeah, I'm the preacher and I have to say stuff like that, but I'm telling you that because I've seen that in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of my friends. I've seen it in the lives of other church members at other churches. I've seen that played out. So the next few weeks, we want to learn why we should value church membership, how we should challenge each other and ourselves to be better church members, and probably even look at what it looks like if we're being the church member that God intended us to be. Remember, when we say church membership, we're not talking about your name being on a roll somewhere. I don't care. I do not care. And you're going to hit heaven's gates one day, and you're going to go, hey, you know what? If you'll go get that book from Little Creek Baptist Church in such and such, Tennessee, there was one time I had my name on there. And if you'll go and you'll find that, and God's going to go, you know what? That all ink just wiped away a long time ago. That ink's not even there anymore. So it doesn't matter. Because that doesn't do anything for you to have your name on a roll. But church membership's going to be about your relationship with Jesus and how that drives you to want to be with other people who love Jesus too and serve alongside and worship alongside of other people who love Jesus as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read quite a few verses down through the end of the chapter. If you don't have your Bible, you can follow along on the screen. But if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there or find it on your phone, because we'll come back to these set of verses a couple of times. But I want to read this to you. In 1 Corinthians, Paul was dealing with a church that had some issues. He had started the church. Some outside forces had come in, some internal stuff had happened. He had to come back in and write this letter to them to kind of straighten them back out, which is fine. We all need straightened out. I need straightened out. So I like 1 Corinthians. It helps me to know, and in this area, helps me to know what I ought to be as a church member. This heading on this in my Bible says, unity but diversity in the body. And if you've never been a part of a church, you don't understand that. You can have unity and diversity. It doesn't have to be hostile diversity either. You have unity and diversity in the same body. Here's what it says starting in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. He's saying it's just one guy that saved us all. That's what he's saying. And we all come to worship under this one guy who saved us all. He's saying in not so few words, forget about all the outside stuff for a second. You've heard me say this before, but let's just make it about Jesus. Let's just put Jesus at the middle of this. Let's put the Holy Spirit at the middle of this. And let's just forget all this other junk. That's what he's saying. Indeed, verse 14, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less part of the body. And if an ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, think about that for a second. How ridiculous does that look? Now, some people have big eyes, I guess, but their whole body's not an eye, okay? Think of how ridiculous that would look. It looks like a picture you drew in kindergarten, right? That's what it looks like. That's what he's trying to get you to understand, though. How ridiculous is it? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, I got little ears, so I can't make jokes about that one. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as he wanted. It is not a mistake, the gifts that you have. It's not a mistake, the church that you're in. So there's not a mistake in the way you're involved, in the way he wants to use you in the church. There's no mistake. God puts you here. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. We'll talk about that in a minute. And those parts of the body we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church. And he gives a list of some examples. This is not an exhaustive list of every gift he gives and every way that you can serve in the church. This is not every part, but here's some examples. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Miracles. Gifts of healing. Helping. Administrating. Various kinds of languages or tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other languages? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. It's pretty amazing when we look at how God set the body up, which the body of Christ is the church. And you say, well, why there's all these different churches then? Because all these different churches are a little bit different to reach different people for Jesus. Cadiz Baptist is not ever going to be just like Cadiz Methodist Church. And Cadiz Methodist Church is never going to be just like the Church of Christ down the road. And the Church of Christ is never going to be just like the Disciples of Christ Church down here. And they're never going to be like Liberty Point. Liberty Point's never going to be like Oak Grove. Do I have to keep saying it? I mean, do you get the message? We're all different, but we're all on the same team. And that's the same way with churches in a community, and it's the same way with people in a church together. We're all here for one purpose, and that purpose is to reach people for Jesus. So what does church membership mean? When we think about it in that way, what does church membership mean for us? Number one, real quickly, we're going to go through them. Church membership means that we're all necessary parts of the whole. Every person in here is a necessary part for us to be a church that reaches people for Jesus. Justin, I'm a nobody. I just kind of come on Sundays. Well, you need to get involved more, number one. Number two, you're a necessary part. You're a necessary part. There's a biblical definition kind of membership here. It's in verses 27 and 28. He says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed these in the church. You're all individuals. You're all separate. You're all part of the body. And God has put you here for that reason. You're a Christian. You're a member of the body of Christ. And you have a task in the membership of the body of Christ. You have a task, a gift. Now, culture would like to tell you, the world would like to tell you something different about church membership. They would say stuff like this. If you'll walk an aisle, if you'll get baptized, if you'll go through certain classes, if you'll do those things, then you can eat the cracker, and then you can drink the juice, and then you can even vote in business meetings. You can have your name on a membership roll. You can voice opinions. You might even have a parking spot you park in every week. You might even have a seat that you set your little rear end in every time you come, and you get mad if you see somebody else in it. That's what the world would tell you church membership is, but the Bible doesn't say any of that. So we have to be careful, right? Why listen to what the world says if the Bible doesn't say that? The Bible tells us, God's put us in this place. We're all part of the body, and we all have a task to perform while we're here. He doesn't tell us anything else about it. Bible tells us that church membership is actually a lot easier than what the world does. Church membership is based on who we live for, either Jesus or us. If you live for Jesus, you're part of the body. If you live for yourself, you're not a part of the body. You're by yourself. So that's not church membership. And it talks about how it affects what we do. Who we live for affects what we do. Either we do for others to know Jesus, or we say, well, what can the church do for me? So either we're givers because we follow Jesus, or we're about us and we say, somebody sat in my pew, somebody parked in my parking spot, somebody wore the wrong dress to church, somebody wore the wrong shirt to church, somebody doesn't like your shoes, whatever it might be. All of those things are worldly. All those things don't matter in church membership. Church membership means we're all necessary parts of the body of Christ. You are as necessary as anybody else in this building to make the church function as the body of Christ. This is not just some organization. This is not some place that has a big building and we come every Sunday. This is the body of Christ you're a part of. That puts a different spin on things when you think of it like that. Second thing church membership is church membership means while we're all different, we still work together well. Remember, diversity yet unity in the body. Each part of the body has its own work to do. Not everybody is a singer. There's no amens on that. Some of you just elbowed somebody beside you. Not everybody is a singer. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's good at finances. Not everybody's good at being handy around the church. Some people would tear up more than they would fix if they tried to touch it. Not everybody's a driver. Thank the Lord. Not everybody needs to drive the church bus, okay? Not everybody needs to touch it. Not everybody's somebody who can work outside. Not everybody's somebody who wants to be inside all the time. Right? We all are different, but we all work together well. If a foot, and they kind of say this, Paul kind of says this, if a foot is used where a hand should be used, the job might get done. It might. It can still get done. And that happens in churches all across the country, all across the world. People are not doing either what they're supposed to be doing, or because there's not somebody there. There is somebody that God's put in the body, but they're not using their giftedness. So somebody else has to do something, and the job will get done, but it won't get done like it should get done. I'm not going to do it, so don't worry. I could probably take my shoe off and my sock off and stick an ink pen in between my big toe and my second toe, and I could probably hold it real tight if my foot didn't cramp, and I could probably write my name on a piece of paper. But wouldn't it be so much better if I just took my hand and did it? Wouldn't that just be so much easier? I could probably go from here to my house walking on my hands and knees. But I've got feet, so why don't I just use my feet and do it, and I would get there a little bit easier. It's the same way in the church. If we might get the jobs done that need to get done, but think of how much better things would be. Think of how much more we'd be able to impact our community if everybody did what they were supposed to do. How God gifted them and the way God gifted them. Think about how well things would go. The fact is, the whole church and the community suffers when somebody in the body of Christ fails to do their part. The whole church and the whole community suffers when somebody fails to do their part. Look back in verse 26. If one member suffers, all members suffer. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. It means when we hurt together, when somebody else has a hurt and we hurt with them, when we rejoice together, you have to be here to be able to do that. You have to be a part of things to be able to do that. You're not fulfilling your job in the body of Christ to suffer with one another and to honor each other and to rejoice with each other if you're not here and involved in knowing people so that you can suffer with them when they need to be suffered with, so that you can rejoice with them when they need to be honored. And then the other part flips like this. Someday you're going to need people around you. Someday you're going to need somebody to suffer with you. If you don't have a church family, you don't have that person. Someday you're going to be honored and you're going to want somebody to rejoice with you, somebody to be excited in a godly way with you, a godly rejoicing. And if you're not here, and if you're not a part, and if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you don't have that person to rejoice with you in a godly way. We might be different, but we need each other in our church family. We might be different, but we all work well together when we do it together. The third thing membership means is that membership means everything we do is based on the Bible's view of love. We've kind of already said it. Everything we do here is centered on Jesus. Everything we do here is centered on love. If you flip over to 1 Corinthians 13, it's called the love chapter. A lot of us call it that. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard some of these verses. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love never fails. That's why we do everything. It's all about love. And being a church that is that example of love, a patient church family, a loving, kind church family, and not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude. We don't love each other. We don't love other people because they're lovable, especially other church people. We don't love them because they're lovable. We love people because we're commanded to love them, and we're trying to be a reflection of Jesus. 1 John 4:7, John tells us to love one another. One of the first verses I ever learned in Mission Friends growing up. 1 John 4:7, love one another. Love is the foundation of church membership. Love is that foundation. Because if we say that a relationship with Jesus, love is the foundation of that. Love is the foundation of having a relationship with Jesus. And a relationship with Jesus is really the foundation of church membership, then that means love is that foundation. Love is what drives us to want to be part of a church family, to want to grow with each other, to want to put our roots down and serve alongside one another. A person who doesn't love the church, a person who doesn't love its church members, a person who doesn't love others, is not a church member. They're not a member of the body of Christ. If you don't love them, love is important. Church membership means everything we do is based on the Bible's view of love. And then lastly, church membership is a functioning membership. You and I are not a part of a country club inside these walls or outside these walls. We are not a part of a country club. We can't pay our dues and show up, participate when we want, have a voice when we want, and then not show up when we want to do that. That's not church membership. That's country club membership. And this is not a country club. I used to play golf after school some days at a little city course in Owensboro, Hillcrest. is what it was called. And I would go up there and play sometimes. There were always these old men that had been there all morning and they'd been there all afternoon, sitting there. Sometimes they're drinking coffee. Sometimes they're playing cards. Sometimes you'd see them out on the course. But I remember going in, and I would go in and sign my name down and then go hop in a cart and go. And those old men would say, "Oh, you want to go out and play?" About 90% of the time, when you would hear them say that, one of them would go, "Oh, no, I'm just here to get away from my wife. I'm good just sitting here. I'm okay just sitting here." So those dudes paid a membership every year, showed up every day like clockwork, and just did whatever they wanted. That's country club membership. This wasn't a country club, but that's what a country club membership is. Biblical membership, biblical church membership, is a functioning membership. It means we give of ourselves fully without hesitation. That means we're active in our membership. If you go back and read what we've already read, it talks about the eyes and the ears and the smell and how that's all used together. If you go back and read, starting in verse 12 in chapter 12, eyes are necessary. They're used in the body of Christ. Hands are used in the body. Ears are used, and they're only useful when they function. He talks about less honorable parts being labeled as honorable. You know what that means? This always scares Lindsay when I say this. Can I say something? I'm going to say something gross. You'll remember this. I promise you'll remember this forever. You could probably live a pretty decent life if you didn't have one of your hands. Probably so. I got a good friend in Smith Mills, Kentucky. Robbie's friend too. He has not had use of his lower body for the last, 20 years probably. And he can do anything you and I can do except get up and run. And that is no joke. So you could not have your legs or your feet and still be able to do things in life. If you can't hear, you could still get around. You can't see, there's ways to get around that. You know what would really mess you up, though? You know what really puts you down? It's when your bowels don't work. Is that not true? I mean, you stump your toe or something, you'll limp for a few days, and it might hurt, but you smash your finger in a door, yeah, it's going to hurt, but you know, but man, when those bowels shut down, that's not honorable stuff. That's not the first thing you think of when you think of things in your body that really serve you well. But when that bad boy stops, but is it necessary? It's absolutely necessary in our body. I'm not trying to figure out who the bowels of the church are. That's beyond my pay grade. But that was a bad transition. What I'm trying to say is this. Every part is necessary. You might come here today and say, "You know what? I'm not that important of a person. I'm just on the security team, or I just show up to Sunday school and I make the coffee in the morning, or I just do this, or I just do that." But you're necessary. You're necessary. And even beyond being necessary and being functioning church member and doing the things that God's called you to do, are doing the things that just need to be done, that you don't need to be a hand to do. You don't need to be a foot to do. You don't need to be an eye or an ear to do. You're not. You don't have to preach. You don't have to teach. You don't have to do those things. Whenever I was at college, if you got up early enough, I had one 8 o'clock class. And so if the few times I was actually up at 8 o'clock, I would walk, and you would see the college president in a suit and tie walking across campus, picking up cigarette butts and putting them in his coat, in his suit jacket, picking up gum and putting it in his suit jacket, whatever he found that was trash. That's what he did in the mornings. What better picture of a servant can you have than that? And that happens at the church too. Don't say, "Well, you know what? I'm just the mouth of a church, so I don't need to do anything else. I just teach. That's all I do. I just teach on Sunday mornings. That's all I'm supposed to do. I just play an instrument. That's all I'm supposed to do." No, when you go outside and you see trash on the sidewalk, pick it up. When you go outside and you see somebody that doesn't need Jesus, share Jesus with them. Like, what better servant could you be than just doing the things that need to be done? But when we all do what we're supposed to do, when we all are the church members we're supposed to be, when we all do the things that God's gifted us to do, all that stuff just falls into place. It all just falls into place. And we all function like we're supposed to in our church, as a church body, as the body of Christ functions like it's supposed to. What can we get out of this then? What can we get out of this first little bit about church membership? Well, if you're a Christian, you are not doing everything you're called to do in following Jesus if you're not a functioning member of a church. Now, hey, you might be in limbo. You might be trying to figure things out. You might be trying to figure out where God wants to use you at. I understand that. I get that 100%. But at some point, you've got to become a functioning member of a church. And listen, I hate saying church because you make it sound like you have to be part of this building. I'm talking about the body of Christ, a functioning member of the body of Christ, doing what God has gifted you to do. I had a lady in Stanford that came up to me before an outreach one time, an old lady, one of the oldest ladies in the church. And she said, "I just can't do anything anymore, Justin." Joanne was her name. And I said, "Miss Joanne, can you sit in a chair?" "Well, yeah, I can sit in a chair." And I said, "Well, I'll have you a chair out there. You can sit by one of the bounce houses and just watch those kids." I said, "Just watch them and smile at them." "Well, I can do that." That woman was at every event we had, every bounce house that came out. She was in a chair right there by it because she found something she could do. She thought her time was past. Well, guess what? Your time is not past if you're still breathing. There's something for you to do this morning in the body of Christ. Your love for Jesus will translate into your serving Him in the body of Christ. Now, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you never followed Jesus, if He's not number one in your life, He wants you in His family. He wants you in His family. He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to help you grow. He knows you're not perfect. He knows better than anybody else you're not perfect. But He wants you anyway, and He wants to grow your life. And then He wants to plug you into a church family. Guess what? If you're here this morning, built in. You got a built-in church family that will love you and serve alongside of you, that will support you, that will rejoice when you need to rejoice, and that will mourn when you need to mourn. You've got that. So if you don't have Jesus this morning, you need Him first, and then you've got a church family right here. The second part's easy. Church membership just means that you're serious about your relationship with Jesus. You're serious about putting down your spiritual roots, to learn more about Him, to raise your family in a place, to grow yourself with other Christians. It means you have a place to serve Jesus. You have a place to invite other people to come and to hear about Jesus. That's what church membership is. Where are you at with that today? Well, listen, I'm gonna be real honest with you, and I'm not just saying this. We've got some really good church members here at Cadiz Baptist Church. We've got some really awesome church members who serve, who love, who give, who wrap their arms around people. We've got some really awesome people here. And if you're not a member of here and you're not an active member here to where you get to know people, where you have a Sunday school class where you get to know people, where you come to outreaches that we get to talk to each other, you come to fellowships. If you don't get to do all that stuff, you need to start doing that because you're missing out. You're missing out if you don't have that. You could have that here. And it's not so we can build numbers. It's not so we can feel good about ourselves. But it's because when you're here and you're a necessary part of what God's trying to do in Cadiz, other people are going to know about Jesus because of how we conduct ourselves as a body of Christ. Other people are going to know Jesus because little old you decides to get serious about being a church member, serious about being a member of the body of Christ, and locks yourself in, puts your roots down, and says, "This is where I'm going to serve. This is where I'm going to be." Little old you doing that can help the whole city of Cadiz know about Jesus. I don't know of any other organization you can be a part of that has that kind of impact. There's none. But the body of Christ will do that. Do you need to get serious about that today? Do you need to follow Jesus today for the first time? Do you need to ask Him into your life? Do you need to let Him forgive you and save you? Even though you're rotten and imperfect and will go out of here and probably do wrong this afternoon, He still wants you and He still wants to save you. Do you need to let Him do that this morning? If you do, I'll be down here. You can come down and see me. I'll show you in Scripture what it means to be saved and what it means to give your life to Jesus. If you need to come down and pray about something else, you come down. I'll be down here. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for today. Thank You for loving us like You do, even when we're unlovable. Thank You for putting us in our church families. Jesus, for giving us, I thank You for giving me Cadiz Baptist Church, Lord, for a place to serve and a place to grow, a place to be loved, a place to be able to love others. Thank You for all those others who are in this body of Christ along with me. Grateful to be able to serve alongside of them and to impact our community alongside of them. Jesus, help us to be serious about being part of the body of Christ. If we say we follow You, we have to be around others, Lord, who love You as well. That's just biblical. And so, Lord, put us in those places. Jesus, if somebody here today, though, has never followed You, they don't know what would happen if they died today. They don't know if they would be with You for all eternity. They've never turned their life over to You. Jesus, I would hope that they would let today be the day that they would have given their lives to You. That they would had turned their sins over to You, turned their life around towards You and away from this world, and allow You to come in and save them. I would hope that would be what would happen today. Jesus, be with us as we sing. As we sing about how awesome Your name is. Lord, let that impact our hearts this morning. We love You and we ask all this in Your name. Amen.